Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is hour number two here on the program. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester, glad to be with you on this Friday. TGIF, we're getting ready for a weekend. We've got baseball going back tonight for the Royals. We got some football kind of going tomorrow for the Chiefs and a lot of NFL teams as we get through this second to last preseason game. The second game sort of is the last game for all intents and purposes, but we've got you primed for that. You can hear both the Royals and that Chiefs game right here with us on the Odyssey Family Networks. More on that a little bit later. The IHOP hotline is open for you today. It's wide open all day, in fact, and it's brought to you by IHOP with its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal that runs through September 15th. That number is 869-1240. That's where we find Jad Chambers. All right, Tommy, let's go to the Chiefs again here. So we know that they're going to play. Like, we've established all of that. What do we want to see in the time the starters are out there? I think the obvious choice is Sumatai at left tackle. Am I off on that? I mean, that to me, that seems like the most important thing to watch is how he handles those duties again, because it looks like he's going to be the guy there.
Yeah, that's probably number one for me. I mean, it's been probably the number one storyline for the most part outside of injuries and training camp has been that battle at left tackle. It does add a little bit of a wrinkle that Wanya Morris returned to practice this week. So it'll be interesting. I would imagine that it'll be Kingsley Suamataya with the first team to start out the game. But it'll be interesting to see how quickly does Wanya Morris come in, if he does at all. How many reps will Wanya Morris get in that game? What will that split look like? That's really, I think, still going to be the most intriguing story coming out of the second preseason game.
I mean, I know a lot of attention's going to Xavier Worthy as somebody, you know, needing to step up and do all these things with Brown out. I don't know that his role changes with Brown out. Maybe it does, but to me, it seems like his, you know, he may get more targets, but I don't think what he's going to do will change, because I think the plan has always been to have him and Brown out there anyway. Like, Justin Watson's probably going to be the expanded role. I just don't think Worthy is going to do anything different with Brown out than he would have done. They may just target him more, but like his role in the offense, I don't think changes all that much. So, you know, as his name keeps coming up as like the player that needs to step up, I think he just needs to do what he's supposed to do to begin with.
I think the only thing that I'll be paying attention to with Xavier Worthy is how involved will he be? Not necessarily what he'll do, but how involved will he be in that short time that he's going to be on the field? And the reason that I say that is because now that Hollywood Brown is out for the remainder of the preseason and maybe into the regular season a little bit, the only different player in the skill position area from last year to this year is Xavier Worthy. Everybody else is the same as far as the starting skill position players. Everybody else is the same. There's nobody different. And so that's the only like thing that you can grab onto by saying, okay, well, let's see how different it is from a year ago in the way that the offense runs and operates. And I know you've mentioned multiple times, and I don't disagree with you, that schematically things are probably going to be different for the Chiefs from last year to this year. And that's all well and good and definitely something to pay attention to. But personnel-wise, with Hollywood Brown now on the shelf for a period of time, the only different skill position player out there is going to be Xavier Worthy.
I get what you're saying. I think my point is I just don't. And the reason I say this is because I think that's the narrative out there. Okay, Brown's out. Now Worthy has to step up. Honestly, though, I think the role Worthy is going to play stays the exact same. I don't think they change it or add more. He's a rookie wide receiver. He's got enough on his plate just to learn what he's supposed to do to begin with. I think it's far more likely that Justin Watson just plays the Hollywood Brown role, right? And then they don't mess with anything else. They just keep Worthy that's on the same track they had him on to begin with. The combination of those two guys, to me, is you're right, is what changes the offense schematically. And I don't even know how much schematically as much as I just feel like how much success they'll have with the things they tried to do early last year, right? If you just simply said, we're going to take Worthy and let him be MVS. And I don't think this is going to happen, by the way. But if you just simply said, all right, Worthy's going to be MVS and Hollywood Brown is going to replace the Sky Moore experiment, right? That's what we're going to do in Rashi Rice. That's already going to, we would think, make them better. But I do think they'll do a little bit more than that. I think that they'll open it up a little bit more and they'll start the season with more trust in that group than they ended last season with, which did really hamper down their offense to become basically a Rashi Rice, Travis Kelce show. I mean, that's what it was. Both those dudes were targeted like 12 times a game, it felt like. That I don't think will be the case now. That's what I mean. I will be stunned if any player in the offense commands that sort of target share now. I think it'll be far more spread out, and that won't change with the Hollywood Brown injury singularly. What would change that is if Worthy's not any good and Brown stays hurt, and now they're right back to where they started last year.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's a really simple explanation as to why a guy like Justin Watson got the targets and the catches that he did a season ago. It's not because he's some freak athlete or some amazing wide receiver. It's only trust.
Yeah.
The trust that he had built with Patrick Mahomes in a season where he couldn't really trust hardly anybody else outside of Travis Kelce and Rashi Rice. That's the beneficiary of that's going to be Justin Watson. And so I do agree with you that from a trust perspective, there should be a significantly larger amount of trust that Patrick Mahomes has built up because you have a year under your belt with Rashi Rice. Of course, Travis Kelce is, Mr. Reliable for the most part. And then you've got, Xavier Worthy, if that trust can be built up. I do think, and I mentioned this earlier this week, I do think that one thing to keep our eyes on, if this Hollywood Brown injury link, suggesting it will, but if it does, they brought Hollywood Brown in not only for his athleticism, but his reliability. His drop rate percentage a year ago was very, very low, significantly lower than any of the Chiefs wide receivers last year. He catches the football. And if you don't have him, if he's on the shelf for a period of time, then I don't know if you're going to see just this major shift in all of a sudden a lot fewer dropped passes if Hollywood Brown is not on the field. I think it'll be better than last year. Rashee Rice, for as all the talent in the world that he has, he dropped a lot of passes last year. His drop percentage rate was pretty high. But I think that should be improved with a year under his belt in the NFL. There were just a lot of things like that that happened that were kind of fluky too. So I do think that'll be better, but that is something to pay attention to if the Hollywood Brown injury lingers.
Travis Kelce ain't dropping a lot of passes this year. He dropped more than normal last year. Some of that will self-correct. I agree.
There were some fluky things.
Yeah, it'll self-correct a little bit. So again, though, when we look at Worthy tomorrow, as we're kind of trying to focus on tomorrow, I don't think anything changes on what they expect out of him right now, right? Like, the Chiefs have a famously difficult offense to grasp and comprehend. It's a big part of the reason Sky Moore, quite frankly, struggled and has struggled. You got to get Worthy through that part first and remember that he missed a large portion of the offseason with a leg injury. So I just don't think that they're going to all of a sudden add all this pressure on Worthy. I think Worthy's impact will be there this year. I think he will impact games. I think he will make big plays. And who knows if he is able to, you know, integrate into the offense the way Rashee Rice did last year, more out of necessity than anything else. I don't know the answer to that. But I don't think that they're going to put that on him early because Hollywood Brown's missing time. I don't think they'll want to put that on him. Or I think they're far more inclined to go with Justin Watson and lean back into Rashee Rice a little bit too. They do have, and this is the Kadarius Toney factor that you brought up in the last hour of getting cut. That adds to the offense if he's out there and can play some sort of like backfield position. He's got to be there. I get it. He has to, you know, best ability is availability. I get all that. But he does add another element back there too. I don't know what they're going to do with Mecole Hardman. I assume just let him be a return man, but that is also an insurance policy. You know, he caught the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. That is an insurance policy to be able to slide him in early in the year if you had to, because I don't think they want to.
Yeah, and I think that also keep in mind that last year the Chiefs kind of ripped the Band-Aid off and carried 7 wide receivers on the active roster. That usually it was 6. They carried 7 last year because they had a lot of, from a numbers perspective, they had a lot of wide receivers. From a quality perspective, it wasn't there, but from a numbers perspective, they did. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them carry 7 going into this season. The question becomes which 7. And so if you're, you know, ranking things on a depth chart, you know, clearly Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, those 3, Justin Watson has got to be number 4. He's got to have a roster spot because of the trust. Then you've got Sky Moore, Mecole Hardman, Kadarius Toney. There's 7 right there. Justin Ross, that's 8.
Hardman's
so one of those
make,
4.
Hardman's
going
to
make
the
team
so
because
let's
of
go
his
to 5.
Return ability.
Yep,
so
let's
that's
go 5. To 5.
So really then, and I know that there are a couple of others. You know, Nico Remigio is, you know, somebody that has been, I think the Chiefs like him. He's been on the practice squad before.
Yeah.
He's there.
Yeah.
But I think really you've got 3 guys for 2 spots, and that becomes Justin Ross, Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore. And, you know, if they like Justin Ross in the way that it sounds like they do, he may be number 6, and then it's like 2 guys for 1 spot. Is it Sky Moore? Is it Kadarius Toney? I don't know. I would say Kadarius Toney. That's my opinion, just because he's not available a majority of the time.
It breaks my heart to say this because I've always been a Sky Moore advocate.
You're a Sky Moore guy.
What does he add to this team at this point? I mean, he hasn't provided them anything. At least Toney, when he's out there, provides you, you know, the explosive thing.
But that's the
does.
Thing is Toney's not out there. So
I understand.
It's almost like,
but
I don't,
can't
I mean,
you, but can't, I mean, if Toney's not out there, you bring him on, maybe you put him on the pup or something. And then it, to me, it become, and this is why that surprised me about Toney, and you may very well be right. Like maybe the discussion should be, and this is kind of where I've been on it. Is it Justin Ross or Sky Moore, right? As that guy with Toney. I have had Toney penciled in. It's almost
but then,
better.
You know, then the question is, okay, could you move Kadarius Toney in more of a backfield role and have him, you know, technically be a running back, one of those running back positions. And I think that, you know, I know that he got some reps in the backfield during training camp, but then you've got guys like Carson Steele. If that ends up being
if
that's a real thing and not just a flash in the pan, then he's going to take up a roster spot that people weren't anticipating that he would. They carry, you know, as of right now, they've got there are four tight ends that are on the roster. Not all of them are going to make it, but obviously Travis Kelce, you've got Noah Wiley, you've got Jared Wiley, you've got Noah Gray, and you've got Irv Smith Jr. Those are the four. They're not going to keep all of them, but if they keep three, then that's another roster spot that's being taken up by, you know, somebody that, you know, could be a wide receiver. So they're not going to keep eight wide receivers. The only way that I think all of those guys make the team is if, like, Kadarius Toney is listed as a running back. That's about the only that's about the only way in my mind that that happens.
Well, it does. It's the same number of players overall. Wherever they list him is not. I mean, it's okay, right? It's just.
I'm just trying to slot him into a position, you know, to be able to get to that, you know, that magic number.
Well, the cuts don't happen as early. They've got time, and the final preseason game will probably help them determine that stuff. But long story short, don't expect Worthy to all of a sudden come out of the gates and be the, you know, the beneficiary of a Hollywood Brown absence. To me, that does not make any sense. I would say you're far more likely to see a bigger emphasis put on Rashee Rice than Xavier Worthy. And then Justin Watson is your placeholder. You know, week one, probably you're just going to have Justin Watson play the position that Hollywood Brown is going to play, and nothing changes with Worthy or Rice.
That's the way that it's been in practice all this week.
Yeah,
like I mentioned it in the just first hour.
Justin Watson
has been the recipient of that.
But again, back to the comment from Austin on YouTube earlier, like, it's because I don't think they're overly concerned about the long-term nature of Hollywood Brown's injury. Now, if Hollywood Brown misses significant time, I think this conversation probably shifts a little bit. Are the Chiefs comfortable with letting Watson be the placeholder for 8 weeks? I don't know about that. And that is something to watch if it comes. But right now, we're not to that point, right? And over that amount of time, by that point, maybe Worthy has integrated enough that he does change what they're asking him to do early in the season. But as far as Saturday, as far as tomorrow, and then the beginning of the regular season are concerned, yeah, the correct answer is just to let Watson play the position. And then you just, you know, you lean into Rashee Rice a little bit more. Maybe you lean on Travis Kelce a little bit more. I don't know what to expect. We'll obviously have 2 weeks to think about this. Think about that Ravens game. How do we see that stylistically playing out? Is that an Isaiah Pacheco game? Is that a pass heavy game? I know how it's going to play out for the Ravens. And the middle linebackers better be ready for the Chiefs, because I'll bet you the Ravens are going to pound that. You remember the mistake the Ravens made in the game against the Chiefs? That, like, the Chiefs had one clear deficiency, and it was, you know, against the run and the Ravens just refused to do it. You remember that? That seems like a lifetime ago. And, like, one of the worst coaching decisions ever from one of the best coaches in football. Made no sense whatsoever. They ain't going to make that mistake again 3 weeks from yesterday. They are going to pound that rock in that game. You got Derrick Henry back there now with Lamar Jackson. That's not going to be a fun day at the office as a linebacker against the Ravens this year. That's what they're going to do. I don't know what the Chiefs are going to do.
Well, I think that ends up becoming, I know we're going to have a ton more leading up to that game when we break it down and analyze it leading up to week one against the Ravens. But yeah, I mean, from a linebacker perspective, it's going to be the very first time that we see the way that the Chiefs linebacker core plays without Willie Gay Jr. And I think that's a major factor. Like, you're going to have, you know, several other players that are going to be in that role, filling that spot, that sort of thing. I mean, Drew Tranquil, the Chiefs are putting a lot on his shoulders to kind of lead that portion of the defense. And right out of the gate, it's going to be an incredibly tough test for that part. I mean, the defense as a whole, but especially the linebackers in week number one. So it's not like they get to really ease into it and start off the season with a cupcake or anything. Like, they're taking on a Ravens team that they were really good last year, and they're probably even better, at least on paper, coming into this year.
Saturday. We got to get through Saturday and one more preseason game. As much as we just want to, we want to jump ahead to the Ravens. You can hear that game Saturday. It will be one to listen to because this wide receiver battle on the, you know, you get the starters to begin with, and then you get some camp battles and some battles for the roster that are going to get really, really interesting. And maybe we get a chance to see Carson Wentz too. We'll have that game's tomorrow. We'll tell you when and how to listen to it coming up a little later. Let's go back to the Royals when we return. We'll look at these games of this series. We'll get you a preview tonight. We'll look at the bets. We'll dig into the Reds when we return on Sports Daily. All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily, rolling right along through hour number two here. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Appreciate Crestview's support of the show. Get out there, play a little golf. We're about to get into prime golfing season. You're a bigger golfer than I am. I love golf. I just don't, you know, it's been more of a time thing. But the fall is prime golf season, right, Tommy? That's when everybody wants to be out there playing.
Yeah, I love fall golf. I've always been a big fan of that time of year. I mean, it's obviously not as hot, so that plays a big role in it. I think the only downside, actually, there might be two downsides to fall golf. Number one is that the sun doesn't stay out as late, so you can't really play. Yep. Late afternoon, evening golf, you have to push your tee times earlier in the day so you can get done before the sun goes down. That's one thing. And then number two, if you're playing on a course that has a lot of trees, sometimes it can be hard to find your ball and all the leaves that are on the ground. That becomes a challenge, but you know, then you just have to hit it in the fairway and you should be fine. You shouldn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, it's not a problem for me. No, I do lose a lot of golf balls in general. Mine isn't though. Like I have a focus problem, which is my issue with golf is I'm always thinking about something else. I lose balls, Tommy, that I hit fine. And then I just forget where I hit them by the time, especially if I'm playing with more, like if it's just me, that happens less. But like when I have the kids out there, if I'm playing in a group, like I'll hit my ball and then I forget where it went by the time everybody hits. I'm like, where did I hit that dang thing? And there are other people that have like this uncanny recall on where a ball goes. And I'm like, can you just watch mine for me? I very much need like a GPS ball, right? Like, why have we not done that yet? Oh, it would be so simple. To just put a little
balls. They do that at Topgolf. That's a Topgolf thing.
Yes.
But it's really, I mean, that's expensive technology. And, you know, so that's probably why.
How expensive? Golf balls are already stupid expensive.
You want to pay $100 a box instead of $50? I mean, like,
I got news for you. I ain't paying $50 for a box of balls. I'm very much a go get like as many used balls as I can for $10. We really like, again, brought to you by Crestview. Don't tell on me for this, Tommy. I don't mind an occasional range ball making its way into my bag.
You can't do that.
Like if there's one out on
that's
random
course. That's a cardinal rule that you're breaking. You can't like use a range ball on the course.
If there's a random range ball out in the middle of nowhere, it's not being used on, what are you supposed to do? Take it back to the range and drop it off? Like, I don't know the rules on that.
Or leave it there. Don't pick it. I don't know. Somebody else will get it. Like don't play your round with a range ball.
I don't play my round with a range ball. You got to let me finish. If I know that I'm in the major danger of hitting a water ball, I will use the worst ball I have. Like I go
that's,
counter.
That's fine. I mean, yeah. Like there are like, I've got junk balls in my golf.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Junk balls.
But they're junk balls.
Sometimes a junk ball for me has been like a range ball I found on the edge of the pond. Right. Like, cause somebody hit it over there. I'm like, well, I'm not going to just leave that there. I'm supposed to leave that there. That's a golf etiquette.
Or pick it up and take it back to the range, but don't play with it. Like that's for me, like that's kind of a cardinal rule. Like
what is the reason behind the cardinal rule?
Or even hit a shot with a range ball.
What is the reason for the cardinal rule?
Well, I mean, because the range balls are for a purpose. They're for a specific purpose to hit on the driving range. That's why they see range on them or practice.
No. I know that they say that, but is that because it's like it's going to make my game worse, or is it like there's
know.
A?
I didn't invent range balls. I don't know why you're not supposed to do that. You're just not supposed to.
Yeah, there's a lot of supposed tos in golf that I don't know about, and so anyway, don't hit your ball in the water. Because they should put trackers in these balls. Yes, they should put trackers in these balls, and it can't be that expensive. I mean, it can't be. Topgolf does it, right? All these places do it. Just to stick one in there, everything you can. I don't know. I lose too many balls. That's why I don't buy expensive balls. By the way, I go find the more affordable.
You go find a range ball and you hit a range ball.
If there's a range ball staring me at the face on like in hole 15 sitting on the edge of the water, yeah, I'm not scared to try to hit that one over the water instead of one of my balls because there's decent chance it goes in the water. I'll need a course etiquette lesson probably. But anyway, go out to Crestview. They got 36 holes of golf for you. Check it out. Get out there. We appreciate it. They've also got the pool open just a little bit longer and a great restaurant bar.
Hang on real quick. Let me ask you this, Jacob.
Yeah.
If you didn't have that junk range ball in your bag, would you have laid up?
No, because I'm an idiot. No, but...
Okay, then it doesn't matter.
It does. I would lay up, yes, if I hit the first one in the water. Like if I'm... There are times where I'm like, you know what? Like there's the 10-cup moment where like I got to get it over the water. And then there's the moments where I'm like, I ain't getting it over the water. I just gotta eat this one and go on the other side, or I'm gonna hit 9 balls in that water. But no, like before I approach it, I always try at least one time. I mean, you have to do that.
I found an answer as to why range balls should not be used during the actual round. It's not really an etiquette thing. Range balls are designed to be durable and withstand thousands of shots rather than for distance or performance. They're not going to perform the same way as a regular golf ball.
I know
the
that. Ball,
it's not going to carry as far. It's going to be less accurate. The ball is going to be worn. If you're trying to aim in one direction, it might go a completely different direction. It's not going to fly like a regular golf ball should. Those are the reasons why, if you actually care about the round that you're playing, probably shouldn't use a range ball.
Oh, well, see, you had me feeling bad. I don't care about any of that. Like, I'm not going to put spin on the ball anyway. Like,
playing if you don't care about what the
because
round
my
is,
game's not to that level. I enjoy the time out on the course, but I'm not spinning balls. Like, I just neither am I.
I'm not good.
I need to make sure I'm
time,
making.
But I also.
I need to make consistent good contact. That's what I need to do. So for me,
wouldn't you rather hit a regular golf ball?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It goes even 10 yards further than a range ball that goes 10 yards shorter consistently. Like, I would rather hit a regular golf ball each time to do that. If I knew I was going to get 10 more yards, I would do that every time.
I don't think I'm consistent enough for that to be an accurate reading yet. I will be, and I have been, but I'm still just trying to get back in the groove of this thing.
Can we get you lessons? I would love to get you some lessons.
Yeah,
actually film it, like document your progress.
I don't think I have a bad swing or anything. I'm average. I'm Joe Schmo golfer. I mean, I'm very normal to people that have played before the last 3 months. I don't know, 8 times in 5 years. Like, I think I'm pretty normal to the, you know, like it takes a lot of dadgum time to get consistent in golf. And that's the problem for most people is they don't have it. Now that we're out at Crestview playing a little more, I mean, I can find it. I can find that consistency, but we did baby steps. We're getting there. My best golf I've ever played was 90. Okay. So I got some work to do. Yeah, I need to take a lesson, but I'm afraid they'll tell me to change everything. And then it's like, there's no way that's ever going to work, but maybe, I don't know. Yeah. It's in the cards at some point. I've got it. I'll do it. I know Crestview has that ability. And from what I've heard, I think you have participated in this.
I have.
Some of the best out there. So that is intriguing to me for sure. But I don't need to be judged either.
You're not going to get judged. I mean, to your point, as far as the way that those lessons go, the very first one I took out at Crestview, they asked me, do you want to totally rebuild your swing, or do you want to use what you currently have and just try to get a little bit better with the swing you currently have? Well, I'm not trying to compete and win tournaments. You know, I just want to feel like I know what I'm doing out on the course. And so they took what I already do and made it a little bit better, made some tweaks. They didn't totally rebuild it from the ground up, because at that point I'm not interested. That's too much time, too much work.
All I want to do is eliminate the frustrating missed shot, like total miss hit. If it doesn't go straight, or if I pick the wrong distance, that stuff doesn't bother me nearly as much as when I waste a shot because I hit 6 inches behind the ball. Like, why does that? That's the part of my game I got to eliminate. That's my goal in golf. I don't need to be a great golfer. I just need to be able to golf respectfully and win some bets out on the course. That's what I need to be able to do. Give Crestview a call. Tommy, let's talk about the Royals tonight. Speaking of bets, nice transition there, because we look at this game and I can tell you right now, the Royals are an underdog in this game. Nick Martinez has been pretty good. It is a road game, but the Royals are plus money on the money line behind Michael Lorenzen. I bring that up because I think the Reds may be better than their record, but there's still no excuses, right, for the Royals in this series. I would imagine that on the road, Tommy, the Royals will be the underdog on the money line at least 2 out of these 3 games in this series. So what do we take from that? What does that mean? I don't think it means much, but to just sort of focus your expectation, that doesn't change the fact that the Royals should absolutely take at least 2 out of 3 games in this series.
Well, that's what they need to be doing, and they need to start it off with a win tonight. It's been a while since they've done that. The thing about the Reds, you know, I think you can kind of call them, well, they can pitch, but I mean, they've got some really exciting young players on that team. Ellie De La Cruz is one of the approaching superstardom, I would say. He's one of the future stars, maybe even current stars of the game. And he's been really good so far this season. Spencer Steer, we got used to him here in Wichita with the wind surge a couple of years ago. He's come onto the scene as well. So they've got some really, really young and exciting talent on that team that the Royals are going to have to deal with throughout this series. Yeah. You know, their record, they're 2 games under .500, but it's not because they don't have talent. They absolutely do. And they're trying to get back to .500. They're not fully out of the wild card race in the National League either. It's going to be an uphill climb for them, but they're not out of it. And so it's not like the Reds have nothing to play for. They've got a lot to play for still at this point in the season. So, but it, like we've talked about throughout the last few days, it all starts with the Royals getting out. And I think it's they've got to get out to an early lead in the game. Well, part of the issue, like in the games that they lost against the Twins, like they were, you know, by the second, third inning or whatever, the Twins had jumped all over them. And at that point they were playing from behind. You can't do that in a situation like this when you're starting off a series against the Reds.
The Reds have 4 starters, Tommy, with sub-4 ERAs. One of them, Hunter Green, is like really, really, really good. But they're going to face 3 starting pitchers in this series with sub-4 ERAs, and that's not like short. That's not like short sample size aberration type stuff. That's very much real. And so, getting out to the good start is, yeah, I agree. But they have to be able to not get too far behind early in a game either. It's going to take some of probably, you know, that the Royals have been really good, really opportunistic offensively. They've also been, you know, kind of a part of their identity this year is to not let up and really kind of keep it through all the late innings. I don't know how good the Reds bullpen is. I don't think good. So, like, can you keep it close enough? Can you be, you know, can you just kind of keep up with some of that good starting pitching? I almost think it's like just hang tight until the sixth inning kind of stuff, right? Just be there by the sixth inning and then really, but a part of that, and I know, you know, Rick brought this up earlier and I'll put it up now. We didn't get this. The bullpen blowups, that's added pressure to the Royals bullpen too. They have to be able to maintain it because there's a decent chance that they're going to enter a couple of these games late in the game, either tied or down. And then they'll be able to start their work offensively if they can get those starters out of the game. Yeah, I'd like to see them jump out to 4-0 leads in all of these games. I just don't, just for the folks out there, understand that the Reds have a really good starting rotation. That's kind of their strength on a year. I think they're a little better than people thought they would be. You know, they're a game under 500, but I don't think Reds fans would be terribly disappointed with this season. They've got good young starting pitching.
That's really the key, I think, for the Reds and something that they're going to 100% have to lean on, not only in this series, but if they have any hope of getting back into the National League wildcard race, it'll be that starting pitching. And I think they're overlooked a little bit, you know, and especially in their division, they don't get the kind of attention they did for a while last year, because remember, they jumped out to a really hot start last year and they were kind of, for a while, they were kind of like the Royals are this year, where nobody expected the Reds to be in the mix. They were for a while. Then everything kind of fell off a cliff for them, you know, midway through last season. So they're trying to come back from that. They're trying to continue to improve. I think they are probably a future playoff team, especially with the young talent that they're building around. But for right now, and especially for this series tonight for Cincinnati, it's all about the starting pitching.
Well, I mean, yeah, the Royals are a better team than they are. That's the reality. The Royals are a better team. The Royals are not a great road team, although they've been better. They're almost all the way up to 500 on the road. I don't know if folks have been paying attention to that. So they certainly have been better lately, but they're going to be underdogs in a lot of these games because the starting pitcher for the Reds are going to be good in all the games, and the Royals are on the road. So take that for what it's worth. Doesn't mean they shouldn't win 2 out of 3. At least they should. Austin, and we'll get this in before we take the break. Austin has another one for us. Honest time. Do we see the Royals making the playoffs? I would tell you yes. And I've been on that since the trade deadline for sure. In a definitive form, outside of some catastrophic injury, I do think so. I think that they did enough at the deadline to me to make them roster top to bottom. I'll take them over Boston for sure. And Seattle, because Seattle's offense has been so bad, I would take them over Seattle too. The big caveat and the biggest question for me, Tommy, is if the starting pitchers continue to break down a little bit over the stretch. That would be the thing to me that really cripples those chances. But I do, if I'm making the call right now, yeah, I think they're in.
Well, I think the biggest question mark for me between now and the end of the season that will dictate whether or not they make the playoffs is 100% the bullpen. It goes back to what Rick said earlier in the show about the bullpen blowups. And I don't know the number. I don't have it in front of me, but the number of games that have been blown due to the bullpen.
Three lately, I think.
Yeah, you know, lately, but I'm talking from the start of the season.
Oh, a lot.
There have been a lot of guys. Yeah. The record could be totally different and significantly better without all the bullpen blowups that the Royals have had. They've got a bona fide star, I think, in Lucas Ersig on the back end of that bullpen. I think that he's your automatic guy in the ninth inning in safe situations. That's great. Outside of that, it's still kind of, you know,
uncertain. It's too.
But as far as like being an automatic, you know, they're going to lean on him in every game. It's Ersig right now in the ninth, and I think it probably will continue to be. Outside of that, like we don't really know.
Well, fundamentally to me, like the issue is bridging to Ersig then, right? Like because my fear is the starter not being able to do what they did early in the year, which would be kind of to get into the sixth, seventh inning. You know, early in the year, you really only needed two, right? You needed two guys, which in that sense to me, Bubic and Ersig would get there. And I know they still want Harvey to be there, but we just haven't seen that yet. They need probably two more guys right now, because the starters just aren't getting them as deep into these games consistently. So if it's Ursig, and I think it's Bubic, they need at least one more that they can count on not to blow it in the seventh inning. That's where they've really struggled. I think, you know, Harvey gives him another option eventually. They're not there yet. I don't know who that is, because you kind of hoped that Will Smith's momentum could carry it, but that's already fallen apart. Long is the
most
likely.
They've leaned on Long lately, but Long hasn't
been the most likely. I know.
Automatic either.
But he's certainly been better than Stratton or Smith.
Yeah, it's not Stratton
lately.
It's not Zerpa.
Right. So, you know, and Hernandez is their Long guy, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that either. So who is that other guy? They want it to be Harvey. Harvey is, but he's not there right now. And he's got to show you that he's healthy. So you kind of have to find it on the roster. Who is it? I don't know. The better answer is your starters consistently now get you into that seventh inning.
And I'll tell you right now, I really hope that Hunter Harvey struggles when he was pitching after the trade were directly related to his injury. Hopefully when he comes back, he's fully healthy and the way that he pitches turns around a lot because he's healthy. Because yeah, I'd like to think that was connected.
I do. I definitely think it was, but it's a bat. So you never know, right? Backs don't come easily. So he's going to battle, I'm sure. And I'm sure they'll try to run him out there. If your starters can get you there and your offense can provide you a big lead, it's not nearly as critical. At least there's Ursig and Bubic now. That's more than they had. And maybe MacArthur can groove it. He's had a couple of outings now where he's been clean. Maybe he can be the guy again once he works through whatever he was struggling with. It all goes tonight. It's a weird start time again in Cincinnati. So it's a 5:40 first pitch tonight. So keep that in mind. Much earlier than we're used to with the Royals. We'll get you, the coverage details coming up in just a little bit. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Last full segment. We'll look at the headlines, see if there's something out there tickling our fancy a little bit in the sports headlines for a Friday ahead of a big weekend here locally. That's next on Sports Daily.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
There it is. Patrick Mahomes on the pizza. I've been to St. Joe a couple of times for camp. I don't think I ever ate pizza. Pretty cool thing for that local spot that he called out by name, though. Ian Book eats 9 pieces of pizza. We talked about pizza. Man, I'm telling you. What is it about pizza? Like, I could eat 1,000 pieces of pizza. 1,000. Why is that? Because it sounds like with bread and cheese and like it sounds like something that would fill you up. But no, I could eat 1,000,000 pieces of pizza.
This might be a controversial take. I actually prefer cold pizza the next day than the actual hot pizza when it comes that day. So like I'll eat a lot of pizza regardless, but I've been known to demolish a bunch of leftover pizza. If it's cold fridge the next day, like I'll take down the entire pizza.
Here's a question for you, though, because I also love cold pizza. I'm not sure that I like it more. I would say this, though. Thin crust pizza, I don't feel that way about. But regular crust pizza, I would agree with you. Thin crust pizza, I would much prefer to have that hot than cold. But the regular crust, I'm fine with it cold. In fact, I don't mind cold. I'll take it up a notch. Cold spaghetti. Cold, like I don't mind cold food at all. Like I'll eat cold food and it just doesn't bother me a bit.
Yeah. It depends on what it is, but I'm with you. There are some things that, okay. Yeah. Like I'm okay eating cold. I'll grab like pasta. Pasta is one of those things. I'll do cold. No big deal. I like it. But pizza for sure.
Now this one, you might fall out of your chair. Or maybe I'm not. Have you ever tried cold steak?
Oh yeah, of course.
So good.
Yeah. I mean, like I would prefer, maybe not prefer, but like if I'm going to get a salad and I'm going to put steak
You'd
on
rather
salad,
your steak be cold.
I'd almost my steak be cold on that salad. I think
I would
rather my chicken be cold. If I'm going to put chicken on a salad, I would rather the chicken be cold.
Yeah, I'm 50-50. I don't care. Either way is good for me. So the Royals get their pizza, they wrap up camp, and you have the game tomorrow. Just a real quick note on that. So you'll get that at 2:00 coverage beginning. Remember, that's over on KNSS, the host of the Chiefs, the home of the Chiefs, I should say. That coverage begins at 2:00. Lions, I mean, if you're a football fan in general, the Lions will have things of interest too. The Lions are a contender. I think that they've got as good a shot as anybody in the NFC. I really do, and I hope for them. I would tell you this on the Lions. Keep this in mind if you're thinking about betting them. I think Goff gets to play 14 of their games this year inside. And historically, he is as Jekyll and Hyde inside versus outside as there is. And I think their road schedule puts him in. I believe that the total number of his indoor games is like 14 this year. He won't play indoors, of course, against the Chiefs. I don't even know if he's playing. I haven't looked at what the Lions' plan is for their starters. I have no idea. But, you know, revenge perhaps from last year in week one in this preseason game. We'll see if they use that at all.
They also have some of the most exciting skill players in the National Football League on that team. And I don't know, like, you know, to your point, what their plan is in utilizing those guys in the preseason game. But it's going to make the Lions that much more fun to watch. They've been fun to watch in the Dan Campbell era. Last year was incredible for them. I think it's going to continue this year.
They got that line. You're right, Jameson Williams. Maybe this is the year he takes off. The Lions are not, I mean, I'm not comfortable saying definitively anybody's better than them in the NFC. If you tell me San Francisco doesn't have Brandon Ayuk, I might take the Lions as the favorite in the conference. We'll see. We'll come back. We'll tell you about the Royals this weekend as well. Each day, where you can find them. Some interesting start times, so you want to pay attention to that a little bit. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.